Acts 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, all with one accord. Meaning they were on the same level. They were in the same vision, same goal, same ultimatum. Can I tell you one reason people don't grow when they come to church? Because when they join the family of God, they bring their own ideas. And you come with your own definition of church. And you come with your own whatever. So it's supposed to go a certain way. But if God puts you in a house, it's for you to eat from the house. He didn't send you to feed the house because he already gave a shepherd to the house. Your job is to eat what the pastor has. If you refuse to eat, you will not grow. So don't worry why you're not growing. Don't wonder why you're not growing. Don't wonder why you're not moving from glory to glory. When the people around you are moving from glory to glory, God is saying to the church, we need to be in one accord. We need to be in one accord. How? One accord. Touch somebody and say one accord. Okay, you're going to see the power of one accord in a minute. They were with one accord in one place. You try going and work at Walgreens and bring Rite Aid way of working at Walgreens. You might work on stock shelves all your life, but you ain't going to get promoted. Because you're at Walgreens, but you're working in Rite Aid. And that's what happened to many of us. You know, we get saved, or we still working for the devil. You're saved, you know, because you accept Jesus and you believe he's the only way. But you're working for the devil. You're talking like the devil people. You're drinking like the devil people. You're smoking like the devil people. You're cussing like the devil people. You're having devil's conversation. You're going to devil place. You're sleeping around like devil people. But you expect God's blessing. Can I give you a beautiful scripture? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. The Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. So if you keep sowing to the flesh, you're going to receive the fruits of the flesh. And that is all you will receive. But today I want to encourage you. Don't work at Walgreens and bring Rite Aid's mentality. Don't say that you're a child of God and live the devil's way. Because what you're doing, the Bible says you deceive yourself. You deceive yourself. Because can I tell you who is broken? It ain't me. It ain't Sister Jane next to you. Our brother John on the left. All the wrath comes to you. And the wrath affects you and your family. You love your kids? Live for God. You love your wife? Live for God. You love your husband? Live for God. So that the blessing will flow. And you know who commands the blessing? God commands the blessing. High five two people and say, I'm living for Jesus. I'm living for Jesus and I'm not turning back. My friends may laugh, but I'm not turning back. Temptation may come, but I press to the top. Because I am a Christian, and that is the fact. You understand?
Do you understand who you are? Yes. Come on, tell somebody, say, I'm a Christian. Yeah, man, tell them. Say, I'm a Christian. Even if you're not walking right now, you make a declaration. I am a Christian, and I'm going to get the thing right. Because after I leave church today, I crush the head of the serpent. Come on, take victory. I crush his head. When you come here, you come to receive. Take it. When we open womb, we don't just leave it like that. We clean it up and we stitch it back up and we say, go on, heal womb, go on, heal. The word of God works like a medicine. And they were all with how much accord? In how many place? Now you can be in the same place and be in disarray. You know, husband and wives live in the same house, but they have discord. Brothers and sisters live in the same house, but they have what? Discord. Yeah. So they were in one place and in one accord. When the church gets together on one plane, when Faith Church gets together on one, just like there is one God, one baptism, one Lord, one accord. Because where there is unity, God commands the blessing and life forevermore. And the Bible says they were in one accord because Jesus told them to remain in Jerusalem and pray. And stay in Jerusalem until you receive something. So they were together in one place, one accord, with anticipation of what God was about to do. So when we get on one accord, it's not just to say, oh man, we have unity. No, it is us getting ready and putting ourselves in place for a move of God, for a breakthrough of God, for the wind of God to sweep through. And the Bible says, and suddenly, the thing about God, he doesn't say when all the time. All we have to do is understand the principles of the king. If you understand the principles, you will situate yourself to receive what the king is getting ready to release. But if you don't understand the principles and how God works and how his house works, you're going to be doing this, that, here, there, everywhere. God is saying, get in one accord. Watch what I'm about to do, because I'm about to do something suddenly. In this time that we're living in, I'm a prophesy to this church. God has situated this church in this hard ground. But he has given you the ability to break up that ground. God has given you the ability and the anointing is in this house to break up the ground. No matter how hard it gets. But you know what we need to do?
We just need to get ourselves in order. Get ourselves in formation for the move. Yesterday I looked out my window. You know what I saw? Remember, we woke up, we heard a jackhammer. We're like, who's doing this so early? So there was a guy there struggling to work the jackhammer. So come, Sister Johnny. So you know how a jackhammer look? So you're gonna do this, right? So he was there. Go. Yeah. But he's struggling and he's not getting it. So the other guy came, and the guy, after a while, the guy looked at him. The guy said, no, not like this. Let me show you how. Give me the jackhammer. Right. So the guy says, when you get the jackhammer, I'm looking at them through the window from across the street. The guy showed him. He said, you have the jackhammer in your hand, and you make a move like this. And you make the move like that. So he was showing him, you got to like make the move, or else you will not get the power from the jackhammer to do what it needs to do. Listen to me, church. If you're going to get the power that is in God and the abilities of Almighty God and the suddenly that God has, you have to get in line. You have to get in formation that you may receive knowledge that you might receive from those who have walked the road, who have done the work, who have set up the foundation. You got to get in line and say, Pastor, how do I do it? Come show me, Daddy. Show me how to work. I'm struggling over here. I've been trying to live the Christian life. I've been walking all by myself, and I can't get it. The Bible says, two gotta walk, not one. Two by two. Don't walk it alone. There is help in the house. Which sheep you think they tried to kill? It's a sheep that has isolated himself from the flock. The sheep that isolates himself most times don't make it back. So when you isolate yourself, the devil goes, here comes my candy. Woo! Christians are juicy. Because you're clean, you're not stinky, you don't got no sin up in you, and you're not bleeding with the pus of the world. So the devil goes like, ooh, dinner never looked this good. I'm telling you, church. Because what the word says, he prowls around like a roaring lion. And all he's doing is making noise. So you'll get scared when you hear the roar of the devil. But when you know the word of God, you will say, they that know their God will be strong. And the Bible said, be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication. And the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Listen, you roaring devil, let me tell you something. Greater is he that is within me. More are they that are with me than those who are against me. Roar all you roar. But let me tell you, I got somebody with me working the jackhammer. I'm not all alone. We're working together. We're doing this thing together. Watch my big brother over there. Watch my big sister over there. We're doing it together. One accord. One place. One accord. One place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty. A what? Rushing mighty wind. Did you ever stop to think when the Holy Ghost came, how powerful that wind was? If something is mighty, that means it is strong. My imagine they're praying. They're like, Lord, we're anticipating the promise of our Savior. He said that you will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And then all through Jerusalem, you heard something go. That's why whenever the church begins to pray, a wind begins to blow, and things that never moved before, and principalities that never shook before, all of a sudden they are able to run, they're able to flee because they can't help it, because all of a sudden the wind of goes like this through that area. All because some people obeyed, heard the word of Jesus, obeyed it, went into a place, began to move. Can I tell you this still happens? In the early 1900s, at the break of the century, the last century, there were some people on Azusa Street in California when Seymour, oh my God, Pastor Seymour went down there. He didn't look all that cute. He had one eye. Nobody likes a one-eyed man. But a one-eyed man that can pray. A one-hand man that can pray. A one-foot man that can pray. A one-ear man that could pray. Almighty God, you don't need a two kidneys. A one-kidney person that can pray. Listen to me. God does not look on the outside. But God looks at the heart. Went down to California. Begin to preach about the Holy Ghost. And the people begin to get hungry. And they started to pray. Listen, the revival we're living in currently, it's because of the Azusa Street revival that broke out in the 1900s, early 1900s. Mighty God, the Holy Ghost filled California, and it drew people from Europe. It drew people from Canada. It drew people from the East Coast, the West Coast, the North Coast, the South Coast, in between all the great churches that we know today. All was pointed out of that revival because they got together and they were hungry and they were there praying. And they were long. And they would say, God, move. God, move. God, not for me, God, but that you're for your glory. Not for me, God, but for my community. Not for me, God, but my generations down the road. Not for me alone. So the wind of God, there's certain things we cannot do. And there's many things we cannot do in the natural. But when we begin praying and we release it from this realm and we put it up to heaven, the wind of God, Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has the same wind. He has the same power. He has the same ability to move and to blow and to shift and to turn and to upside down and to flip and to shake the people you never thought would get saved. When the wind of God gets blowing, they're going to run into the house of God. So it says here, a rushing mighty and it filled a whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Is everyone looking in the Word? Now let's read that together. Verse 3. Let's all read, church. 1, 2, 3. And then, let's read it again. Then there appeared, Bow your heads. This is the promise. Say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Compress. Ramakasa, desire. Let your desire be towards God this morning. You might be already baptized and filled, but say, God, fill me. I need a fresh outpouring. I need a fresh outpouring. I need a fresh outpouring. Fill me again and again. Jesus would go every morning to sit with the Father so that he can receive a filling. Every day we got to sit with God. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you're living by your own strength, this morning I want to tell you, it's a shift, it's a shake, it's a turn. This morning say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I can't do this alone. I can't walk this life alone. I need you. Rababaka satade mando ro shakada maye tabaka robobo sa ha 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 rebokosa e mando rosha areboko rebasa le mando ko. Fill your people this morning, God. Baptize them with the Holy Ghost, baptize them with fire in the name of Jesus. They that hunger and thirst shall be filled. Stretch. Let your hungers align with God. Fill your people, God. Fill them. Let them not leave the same. Fill them this morning. Let there be an infilling. Can I get a better sound? Give them an infilling this morning. Give them an infilling. Give them an infilling. Give your people an infilling. Let them leave empowered. Let them leave built up. Robocosa by the energy. Oh, to walk the Christian life is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God. It is not the works of man, but it's the works of the Holy Ghost. Mareka Robosha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Hallelujah. It is Pentecost Sunday. Almighty God. In Jesus' name, you are the baptizer, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. And then let's skip over. So they got the power. They got the power that was promised to them. And Jesus told them, he said, remain in Jerusalem, for you will receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That power is what gives you the ability to live out your Christ-centered life. The Holy Spirit is the empowerment that comes from God. The Holy Spirit is your helper. When you don't know how to, he's the one that tells you how to. He's the one that's like the man with the jackhammer. He needed somebody to come and tell him what to do, how to do. Guess what he did? When that man came, the man was acting not as the Holy Ghost, but just a picture of the Holy Spirit being the helper of the believer. When you don't know how to trust God, the Spirit of God comes and says, hold on, keep going, keep pushing. He brings the Word of God back to your remembrance and helps you to stay grounded and stay focused on your life to please Almighty God. The church at this point was in shambles. was no church. It was just a set of believers. It was a set of believers that was waiting for the blueprint to build the church. They were waiting for the blueprint. And the blueprint would have come from the Holy Spirit. Amen? But look what happened. After the Holy Spirit came, something happened to the believers. Immediately, boldness came upon them. Boldness came upon the church. You know the reason why we're afraid to pray for people on the street is because we're not spirit-filled. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. We're not filled. When you're spirit-filled, you're driven by the Spirit. When you're spirit-filled, you are driven by, let's say I have a bottle of water and it's full. It can't take nothing else. It's only water that is in control. Because the vessel is full of water. It's full. It's all the way to the top. That is how we have to live our lives, church. Every single day, you have to say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me today's filling. Because the Bible said, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow have its own troubles, right? So if you get to tomorrow, you're today. But if you get to tomorrow, don't you think you need empowerment for tomorrow? Because Jesus says, live here today, endure here today, live by my grace here. But tomorrow now, when you get there, you got to say, God, give me what I need for today. And the Holy Spirit came. And verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Look at authority there. He said, and don't just listen to me, you know. You better heed what I'm saying. You know, you talk to your children sometimes. You listen to me. You listen to me. Good. Yeah, right? Peter addressed the crowd in that manner because he was empowered to do it. He was empowered. He was not doing it on his own strength. He said, listen to me. He became loud and bold. They were no longer in the upper room. They exited the upper room and they came downstairs because they got power and the message was already in them and they received the amplification that came from the Holy Ghost. The reason I can use this mic is because it is amplified through these speakers and it gets louder and louder. If you push the volume up, it will get louder and louder. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive amplification and you're able to get loud for God because it's the Spirit of God that is working within you. He said, heed. Let it be known and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose. The next time somebody say you're crazy, he said, let me tell you something, Georgie, and you heed what I am telling you. You heed what I am telling you. Look how Peter told him. For these are not drunk as you suppose, so I am not crazy as you suppose. Since it is only the third hours of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So why do you think I ask you to ask, or I told you, to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you? Because God promised that he will pour his Spirit on every one of us. Every one of us, he will pour his Spirit. But let's say this vessel is here and it has room. Does it have room? Can you see? It has room, right? So then there can be a filling. True? Work with me, church. There can be a feeling. Remember, we're in one place and one accord. How many accords? Right. So come on, back at me now. Can this thing take any water? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You just assured me that the bottle has space. So it can take filling. But if I take the lid, bring me a bottle of water. Come. Nicely, Sister Abby. Come. Throw some water in here. The vessel is open, right? Put the water in here. This is the Holy Spirit wanting to pour. Are you receiving? Stop. Stop. You received. But if you will do this, throw some water here. Where the water gone? The Spirit of God is pouring. Throw some water. Don't worry, we'll mop the floor. Look, where is it falling? All around you. The revival is breaking out around you. But you are missing out. I hear people say things like this. What happened to the church today? What happened to you, bro? People keep saying things like, what happened to the church? The church of all and the church of this and the church of that. What happened when my grandma was alive? And la, 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 la. Where's the old-time religion? I want to tell you there ain't no old-time religion. God is a God that moves from generation to generation. He moved from Abraham, Isaac, down to Jacob. And then he said, I'm going to pour my spirit upon all flesh. But if you got the lid on, don't expect the Spirit of God to work in your life. It is time for the church to take the lid off and say, God, I'm open. Pour on me, pour in me, pour in me, pour in me, pour in me. And even if some fall on the outside, it's going to still get on the inside. It's not going to only happen to me, but it's going to happen to the people around me. Pour, pour, pour. Look here, and look what happens. Oh my God, there comes the overflow. When you're open, God fills and fills, and the overflow. What happened here when Peter stood up, he was not looking for a filling. He was overflowing. When Peter stood up, he was not seeking filling. He was overflowing. But if you never receive a filling, you can't overflow. Remember the sons of Sceva? They went trying to rebuke demons, but they never got a filling. And then the demon said, oh yeah, hey, what's up, bro? I know Paul and I know Apollos, but who are you? You must receive the empowerment. And it takes time sometimes. You have to sit under teaching. You have to sit under, you have to receive the laying of hands. You have to spend time in the presence of God. Don't get desperate. Get desperate for God. Don't get desperate to do too many things. Get hungry for God, because he promised a day that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Get thirsty for God. Get hungry. Open up. Take the lids off of your life. Take the lid of sin. Don't walk in sin presumptuously. Don't go about sleeping all over the place. Don't go about drinking everywhere. Don't go about talking people's name. Don't go about lying. Don't go about carrying false witness. Don't go make up stories on people. Mighty God. Sometimes the person that smoked the cigarette is better than the person telling lies. You're lying in God's eyes. You think you're lying on the corner. But you're lying in the eyes of God. And you're bad naming your brother and your sister in the eyes of God. trying to undermine your co-worker because you want their position in the eyes of God. But you're looking at the brother that drinks his beer once a week, but yet his life is right before God. And you say, oh, you didn't see Brother Ting drink a beer? But yet, the works of the flesh, if you sow the works of the flesh, you receive corruption. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh. So when nobody likes you, oh, pastor, nobody talks to me. Nobody likes me. And you go to your church and you're like, oh, my God, all my family members hate me. And you're there on the couch and you're telling your shrink. And the shrink is like, oh, yeah? Oh, just talk to me. Tell me. Okay, yeah, your bill is 500. Yeah, keep talking. The bill is 600. No problem. Keep telling me. Yeah. Oh, don't worry. They don't like you. Just let it out and it'll be all right. You're going to feel better. But then you return home and it is still the same. Nobody likes you because you have not had a change of heart. You have not had a change of heart. Mighty God. Left the water, sis. Left the water. Because I'm not watching me, I'm going to watch you now. Let the church say amen. So Peter stood up and he said, heed my words. Because all that you're experiencing in this moment is what was promised from God. Are we going to lay hold on the promises of God today? Let me tell you, God has some great promises for us. Go home and read. Make it a point. If you've never read, read Psalm 37. Read Psalm 30. Let's go there. Let's go. Come. Let's exercise this morning. Let me build your faith. I want you to leave here so strong today. Let's go. Let me tell you some stuff what Psalm 37 says about the righteous. Is it Psalm 37? Yes, the heritage of the righteous. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord and he will give you what? He shall give you what? Are you serious? Thank you, Mom X. She's been living a long time, so she knows it's true. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him, and do not fret because of him who prospers, meaning don't envy other people. Just rest in God. Don't worry about other people's scheme. You just rest in God. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his. Do you understand what happened there? Not you delighted in God, you know. God now delights in you. And when you delight in somebody, guess what you do? You always want to make them happy. So you see, Sister Cher, anything Sister Cher wants, I would try my best to give it to her. Anything. So she comes this morning, she said, I'm a pastor. No, Sam. She said, I'm not pastor all the time, okay, guys? I'm a husband too. I'm dad and stuff. So she go like, one of my desire is to get a car with a Red Bull. You know, that's her desire. So guess what I say? I'm going to do it. You know, you see the commercial at Christmas time where they put the bow? So she said, do not put the bow on this car that we have. Yeah, you know? But I wasn't even thinking about that. But she cleared it up real nice because she knew I always have all these slick ideas. Look, let's continue. So remember, God wants to delight in you, right? And look at this part now. Hold this, church. I want you to hold this word. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Though you fall, though you go through the rubble of life and sometimes you feel like you're knocked down and you're under, you're not utterly cast down. You are not utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Isn't the promises really beautiful? To know that you are held by Almighty God. So this is where I want you to go, church, where we're walking by the Spirit of God, that we're living out lives that are pleasing to God, so then we can see the blessings of God upon our lives. Amen. And look here. I love this one. I have been young, and now I'm old. That's what I was telling you. See, Mama X says, is she old? Or on the older side of things. Let's put it that way. But she's not feeble. She is aged. She's like what David was saying here. I'm old. And yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So will God ever forsake you? Come on, you guys are not sure. Man. Hold on, no, stop, church. Let's read it again. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants are seed begging bread. Leave here with that refuge today. God takes care of his own. God upholds you with his right hand. So those are many of his fatherly promises. Because that's what daddy does, right? Daddy holds you. That he provides, that he makes sure all that is necessary for the house is there. But guess what now? That he has something more for you. He don't want to just do that for you. Because sometimes you can become spoiled and do nothing. You know, you got some kids, you give them everything, they do nothing. Yeah, we see them all the time. They do nothing. But God wants to move you from a place of just receiving to now receiving the amplification of the Spirit, the boldness, the loudness that comes from the Holy Ghost. And now you go forth like Peter and you stand up and you begin to declare the Word of God. You begin to declare the mysteries of God. You begin to declare the gospel, because the gospel is power of God unto salvation. The only way someone could find rest for their soul is when they have the gospel at work in their life. So if David was alive now and he had received that gift, he probably would have said something like this. I was lost and I got saved. And then I received the power of the Holy Ghost that is able to make me preach this gospel and declare it loud and bold on the housetops, no matter where I go. And ain't nothing gonna stop me, because I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Peter said, listen to me and listen to me well. What you're seeing before your eyes is the move of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, church, you know, sometimes we're ashamed or shy when the Holy Ghost starts to move. We wonder so much, like, oh God, is this of you? Or what is it people are saying? What is people saying? I want us to exit that mindset and just give the Spirit of God room to work. Because the Bible said, quench not the Spirit of God. Give the Holy Ghost room to work. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is chaotic. No, understand that. There's nothing like that. Because they were in one place and one accord. There was order going on, right? But when the Spirit of God, remember, we are in this world, but we're not of the world. So we can't expect to operate and please the world. We are not out to please the world. We're all nice and cute and handsome and everything, but we're still not out to please the world. Because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Now, if Peter and the apostles had shied away. Now, it wasn't Peter alone, you know. Peter's standing up with the 11. So you can imagine Peter standing there and all the boys are with him. They're standing with the authority that they have. And Peter went up. He's the top man. You know, he always answered first because he had the anointing to speak. So he went out and he spoke and he said, listen and listen well. This is what God has promised. And it has to happen because if God says he's going to do it, it will be done. And nobody can stop it, and it will not happen the way you, the world, anticipate. I think what happened to the church for the last 20 years, from 2000 come down, or even 15 years, we were so busy trying to please the world that we muzzled the Holy Spirit in the church. And we lost probably two generations in the process. Two sets of kids. You know, kids are born, you're like 5 years old, and another 5 years, you lose another set, and another 5 years, you lose another set. Because babies are born in every day. And as they become conscious, they go more into the world. They become conscious teenagers, they go into the world. So you're losing and you're losing. And now kids are losing their innocence right in their homes on the phone and on the tablets. And now in the classroom, they're teaching them all kinds of nasty things. So what we need to do, church, is to get bold and preach this gospel. And when you stand up to preach, or when your brother or sister stands up to preach, don't go, oh, I don't know her. I'll see you in church. No, stand up. It's going to take chutzpah in this season to preach a gospel. It's going to take tenacity. Because the Bible says, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Lord. Wickedness will increase. Murders and violence will increase. Because the spirits have been unleashed into the world. But the Bible says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. So we have to stand up, because you have been empowered to stand. You've been empowered to declare. And when adversity comes, you have power to deal with that. When you go over, let's look at them. Verse chapter 4, verse 8. Mighty God, again and again, again and again. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, so they got loud and now they're getting bold, and scribes, as well as Ananias the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So the armies of the devil were unleashed against them. And this was the religious class. This was the religious class. And when they had set them in the midst, so they're on trial here now, right? They're arrested and they have them on trial. By what power or by what name have you done this? And look at my boy Peter again. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. What is he filled with? Now, was this another day? It was. Because they arrested them for preaching in the temple. Right? This is not the day of Pentecost. This is down the line now. They're working the works of God. The power is upon them. They're going around and they're manifesting the empowerment that they receive. So now they arrest them and they said, listen, what is the name and by what power are you doing this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Skip down to 13. Now, when Peter saw, when they saw the what? Boldness. What they saw? The boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marvel. Because only people that went to school have the level of eloquence to argue a point and convince a crowd. That's what they were accustomed to. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says God will take the foolish things of the world to bring to naught the things that are wise. He will take the lowest things, the lowly people, to bring the high down to the level where they belong, because the greater is at work in us. I want to encourage you, church. Be loud and be bold. Stop shutting your mouth. This is Pentecost Sunday. This is not for us to just say we went to church and church was hot. No, this is for you coming to church, receive empowerment, and go out and work. Jesus said, I send you a sheep among wolves. So don't go look to pray for sheep. It's easy to pray for sheep. Sheep are nice and calm. But I want to challenge you. Go look for some people that you think don't want prayer and don't deserve prayer. The people you don't want to touch, go look for them and pray for them. The people that look big and strong and bad, stop them and pray for them. When the week is up, if I don't pray for someone on the street, I feel terrible. I'm so happy that I get to work at a job where I see people all the time. So I could stop and say, hey, can I pray with you? And can I tell you, this week I prayed for a white guy. I felt so good. Because I normally, in my circle, you know, it's all our kind of people, you know. So I'm always praying, but the Lord had me pray for a guy that didn't look like he would want any prayer. And when I give him the church card, he was like, oh, wow, this is great. I'm like, yes, it is, man. Yes, it is. But yeah, God will allow us to sow seed wherever we go, because we are in the vineyard of the Lord. This is God's harvest, and we have the power to bring the harvest in, but we have to go out. Don't sit around and pray, Lord, send the harvest. The moment they received the Holy Ghost, they were ready to go and preach the gospel. And they were bold about it. Don't be timid, church. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on prayer. Put on the word. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on your belt of truth. Mighty God, put on your sure peace. When you leave your house, you're not going to cause trouble. You're going to spread the gospel, which is the peace of God. You're going to bring the kingdom of God to people. Righteousness, peace. Put on your shoe of peace and get to work. Let's stand. It is time we have a shift in our mentality and live by the Holy Spirit. If you live by your carnal mind, you're going to get the fruit of the carnal mind. But if you're yielded to the Spirit, you will get the fruit of the Spirit. This is an exciting day, church. This is an exciting day. Today we have the privilege of doing a water baptism in the house. Amen? Today we have the privilege of doing a water baptism. We have fruit of righteousness. Let's just look to the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I can't live this life by myself. I don't want to do life alone. I want the comforter. I want the helper. I want my guide. I want my teacher. I want amplification. I want boldness. I want to fulfill what you have called me to. So Holy Spirit, I open up. I take the lids off. Right where you are right now, if you know there's a lid that you have that has been blocking the move of God in your life, talk to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm taking the lid off. I'm taking it off. I'm taking it off. There are things that block us, that blocks the blessings of God. Your spirit is saved, but your flesh and your soul is yielded to things that are not according to the word of God, that does not line up with God. Would you take the lid off this morning and say, Lord, I'm quitting that lifestyle. I'm quitting that attitude. I'm quitting that behavior. I'm quitting speaking like that. I'm going to bear your fruits, Lord. I'm going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be meek. I'm going to love. Oh, mighty God, you may have unforgiveness in your life, and unforgiveness is holding you back from going all the way with God. Let it go this morning. Don't hold on to it. Don't carry baggages around and let them clog up your spirit that the Holy Ghost can't pour into it. Say, Lord, I'm taking the lids off. Come on, declare it. I'm taking the lids off. You can pour into me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.